It's good to see all of you here. I really appreciate your presence and appreciate the invitation to be with you. This church is a church that holds a special place in my heart and Kim's as well. And it's always an honor to be able to come and to be with you. And I will say something about that picture. I guess I deserve it. I mean, he's got this tallest man in the world, you know, standing beside him, and he calls him me. But a few years ago when I was at South Haven speaking, I told the story, and you've heard it here before, so I'm not going to tell the whole story, but you know how people will come up to me, like shorter guys will come up to me, and one time, you know, in the pulpits, just bumped me in the chest and said, "How tall are you?" And I told him, and he said, "And did you play basketball?" And I said, "Yes." And I had worked on a comeback for that, and I said, "Well, you know, how tall are you?" And he said, "I was 5'4", or he was 5'4". And I said, "Did you play miniature golf?" And I left the impression that that was Don who said that. So I guess we're even, Don. We're even. But it is good to see everybody. And let me tell you something. We're going to do something just a little bit different tonight. We're going to go retro, if you will. Back many years ago, I was probably 8 years old. The elders at the church in Chester, West Virginia, where my dad preached, they decided to show a film strip to the congregation. Now, I like to go retro every once in a while. Do you remember chalkboard sermons? Do any of you remember that, when preachers used to do that? I've done chalkboard sermons at Carnes. Do you remember as a child going to Bible class and having flannel graph lessons? Do you remember that? I've done flannel graph lessons and that was fun, for the congregation at Carnes. Sheet sermons. Anybody old enough to remember sheet sermons? When I was a boy, I remember my dad would be down on the basement floor with a yardstick drawing up these sheet sermons with his markers, and I'd be playing cards right beside him. And so, you know, I've always, and a few years ago, we did a film strip. And that's what I want to do tonight. We've gone through the Jewel Miller film strips, and this is something that maybe, does that look at all familiar to anybody? Have any of you seen this before? Well, let me give you a little bit of the background to it. In 1964, David Roper, and maybe you have heard of his name, but David Roper created this lesson and preached it, and then they made a film strip out of it. And that's what the elders showed the congregation on one Friday night, and I was probably about 8 years old, and I have never forgotten it. I mean, it made an impact on my life. And as I got older, you know, you forget about things, but I always remembered about George the Milkman. I just remembered that story, and I had bits and pieces. And so a few years ago, I decided I'm going to try to see if I can find that anywhere. And I couldn't find it anywhere. And eventually, I found it. I had a preacher friend in Florida who said, "I've got that film strip still." And at Carnes, we had one of those old film projectors. Do you remember doing Jewel Miller door-to-door, you know, those little things? And so I didn't know. I was hoping that the bulb would last, you know, to get this done. And so we went in a room and turned the lights out, and Kim would advance the slide. I had my phone, and I'd take a picture, and she'd advance the slide, and I'd take the next picture. And so then I just brought it all into the computer. And so what I want to share with you is not a lesson that is original to me, but it is a lesson that was preached, well, you do the math, 64. You know, it was a long time. What is that, 48 years, 58 years? I don't know. I can't do math when I'm in front of people. But it's a long time ago. And I want to share that with you, and I hope that it will have the same impact on you that it did me, and make you think seriously about the return of Jesus. I don't know that we think enough about it. We get so caught up in life and what's happening to us and paychecks and you know, this going on at work and that going on at work. And I think sometimes we forget that we're to watch. We're to be watchful in our day-to-day life, anticipating the return of Jesus. When's the last time you've done that? Has it been a while? We're called to do that. And so I think that reminders of the return of Jesus are helpful to the Lord's church today. And I'll tell you, one of the reasons it's helpful is because, well, when you let things get away from you and you don't think much about it, you don't behave as well. And a reminder of the fact that Jesus is coming again, we need to be reminded of that. It helps us to keep focused and give us strength. I'm telling you, if you knew for certain that the Lord was coming back tonight, that we had it, it was written in the Bible, Jesus is coming back tonight at about 10 o'clock. There wouldn't be people staying at home watching a national championship game. They'd be here. And that's the importance of keeping our mind. It will help us to do and to keep our priorities right if we can remember that Jesus is coming again. And so the words tonight are really not mine, and I don't have them completely memorized, so I'm going to look off the script some, but I want you to give careful attention for the next few minutes about the topic, the day Jesus came again. It was an ordinary day. Well, one just like any other day. George, and by the way, George is a milkman in this. And let me say this too. Some of the graphics may be a little bit cheesy. You got to remember, this is really old. But bear with them. And the story is about a man by the name of George, and he's a milkman. Okay, so that will help you get started here. But this day started out for George just like any other day. But it wasn't going to end like just any other day. You see, this was the day that Jesus came again. It would seem that George would have had some kind of premonition about that. I mean, usually when there's some big tragedy about to happen or something, people kind of get this, you know, feeling. But he had no clue. It was completely, it took him by surprise. It was just another ordinary day, just like any other day. And if he had a premonition that today is the day that Jesus is coming, then the Word of God wouldn't be true. The promise of God wouldn't be true. Because it was the Lord who said in Matthew chapter 24 and verse 36 that of that day and hour, no one knows. Not even the angels in heaven, but my Father only. So George got up that morning, as he did every morning, tired and moving pretty slowly. He's had this job for a couple years as a milkman, but he hadn't gotten used to those early hours. It was still hard on him in the morning. And he decided not to wake his wife that morning. So he quietly got out of bed, and his wife, Marge, was still sleeping, and he figured she needs the rest. You know, she has to take care of our little girl all day long, and, you know, while my job is taxing, I think that might even be more taxing. And so he let her sleep through, and he made his own breakfast. And an important point that needs to be made is that Marge was a Christian. They have had many discussions about being a Christian. Marge badly wanted George to obey the gospel. They've had many discussions about it. And just recently had a couple of discussions a few days before. And she was pleading with him to obey the gospel. And, they went to church a couple of days after that discussion. And as he sat there, he thought, man, the preacher is preaching right at me. He even thought or gave thought to the fact that maybe Marge had told the preacher about their private conversation. But then he decided, she wouldn't have done that. And he realized this, all he's doing is preaching, and if the shoe fits, well, wear it. This hits me between the eyes. So he remembered that morning as he was getting ready, what was it that the preacher was preaching about? Oh yeah, it was the second coming of Jesus. George really liked that sermon. There were a lot of things about it that he really enjoyed. He especially enjoyed the stories of those who had tried to set dates about the return of Jesus. Because the preacher told how that people had set dates for his return, and when that date approached, they donned these white robes, and many of them went into tall mountains awaiting the return of Jesus. Some of them even climbed up on their houses to await the return of Jesus. And then, of course, he didn't come. And their hopes were dashed. The part, though, that did, he thought, this is a little reach here. When he was teaching about that, one of the things that the preacher said is he could come in the next 5 minutes. And George thought, well, that's just a little bit dramatic. I don't think that that's what probably is going on. But he did acknowledge Marge and the preacher are probably right. The preacher had given verses and scripture for the things that he had to say and biblical proof that Jesus was coming again, but that nobody knows when he's coming. Someday, George thought, someday I'm going to take that step and I'm going to become a Christian. And so George began to get ready for work. He had finished his breakfast, and he was wanting to look at his family one more time before he went off to work. And so he peeked into the room, and he saw his wife and his daughter sleeping. He loved them with all of his heart. Especially his daughter was so precious to him. And as he was filled with love, looking at their innocent faces, he then went to kiss his wife, Marge, goodbye. And he smiled when he did it, because he'd been thinking, and he knew what he needed to do. And that morning, as he got ready to leave for work, as he kissed his wife goodbye, he smiled because he was thinking about, what will she think when I step out of the pew and walk down that aisle to be baptized? The excitement and the joy that will fill her is just, it's going to be overwhelming for her. And so for the next hour or so, though, George was on the job. He had things to think about. All that kind of got pushed into the back of his mind. There was more to do. There was his work to do. He had bottles to take to houses. Do you remember when we used to do that? Had milk delivered to your house? And he had empty bottles to pick up and put in his car. And he had to check the list to see who was to be delivered to that day. And so he got into all that and forgot about the sermon. But as he started the deliveries, he noticed, this is such a beautiful day. I mean, it was a beautiful morning. And it's one of the things that George liked about his job, because he was able to get up in the morning before the world had wakened up, and he got to enjoy the beauty of God's creation. And he had a time and had opportunity to think between those deliveries that he was making. And as he drove along, he smiled when he saw the signs of everybody waking up. He saw the signs in the neighborhood beginning to stir. There were sounds of electric razors that he could hear. There were mothers trying to get their children ready for school. There were children who were playing, as children always do. And he saw a few women in the rearview mirror without their hair fixed up and still curlers and in their nightgown, kind of sneaking out of the house to pick up the morning paper and get back in before anybody sees them. It was just an ordinary day. George continued along enjoying the day, but for some reason, that preacher's sermon worked its way back in his mind that morning and continued. He couldn't get rid of the thought about the second coming of Jesus. One of the passages that the preacher quoted about the second coming of Christ forced itself into his mind. And it was that passage from Matthew chapter 24 and verse 38. They were eating and drinking. He passed by a church building that had had a wedding the night before, and he saw on the steps of the church building remnants of rice that had been thrown at the bride and groom. And that, too, jogged a memory from that preacher's sermon when Matthew chapter 24 and verse 38 says, they'll be marrying and given in marriage. As he drove down the road, he passed a bakery, and again he recalled a verse from that sermon. Luke chapter 17 and verse 35, two women shall be grinding, one shall be taken, and the other shall be left. And as he neared the edge of town, he saw two laborers walking out into a field to do some work. And he remembered, yes, it also said, two men are in the field. One will be taken and the other left. Well, George kind of gave a little shudder at that. It made him a little uncomfortable. But then he thought to himself, this is crazy. Why am I so nervous? If Jesus hasn't come back in 2,000 years, what makes me think he's going to come back today? I'm young and I'm strong and I have a lot of time yet. And so he tried to push that thought out of his mind and find some comfort in the fact that Jesus hasn't come. What are the odds that he would come today? However, George had forgotten another verse that the preacher had mentioned that day, 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 2 through 3. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord comes as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, sudden destruction will come upon them. There were men on their way to work. Oh, excuse me, I'm a little ahead of myself. George continued on his way, filled bottles, carried the empty bottles to his truck. He went down the street like he had every day. And again, there really was no warning at all. None. It just happened. Generally, there's a feeling in the air when something bad's going to happen. There was none. Even animals sometimes have that sixth sense, you know, when something, some tragedy is going to strike, that they get a little nervous and agitated. There was nothing. There was no warning when it happened. There were men who were going to work. There were women who were getting their children ready. The preacher was working on his sermon for next Sunday, but he needn't have bothered, because there was no warning. And this is the day that Christ came again. That's when it happened. The day of the Lord comes as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction falls upon them. The Bible says also, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. George was near a cemetery when all this happened. He heard the shouts of God, of the angels. And it was a shout that he said, or felt, move faster than the speed of light. And it penetrated to the core of the earth and to the depths of the ocean and to the center of a man's soul. George actually wrecked his truck, but it didn't matter. George had never before heard the voice of God, but he was had no mistake that it was just that. It was the voice of God. Neither had he before seen Jesus, but he had no question that what was taking place and who this was concerning. Revelation 1 and verse 7 says, "Behold, he comes in the clouds, and every eye shall see him, and also those who pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him." The Bible also says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 7 and 8, "The Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God and do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ." In that cemetery that was nearby where George wrecked his truck, he noticed that the graves began to open. And the dead started to come forth from the graves. Their bodies were unlike anything that George had ever seen before. He couldn't quite put his finger on how to describe it, but the word incorruptible came to mind. And he also noticed that as they were rising out of the graves, he noticed that something was happening to him as well. The Bible says, "The hour is coming in the which that all that are in the grave shall hear his voice and shall come forth. Those who have done good to the resurrection of life, those who have done evil to the resurrection of damnation." John 5, 28. Furthermore, the Word of God says, "We shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead in Christ shall be raised incorruptible. And we shall be changed," 1 Corinthians 15, 51 and 52. George could hear cries. He could hear men and women wailing and shrieking. But at the same time, he thought it was strange because he could hear singing. Songs of praise and songs of victory. But those songs didn't give George any comfort at all. In that moment, the thought finally struck George that he must now face God in the judgment. His first thought was to hide. But you can't hide from God. You may try, but he knows. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ and give an account to the things that we've done in our body according to what we've done, whether it be good or bad." George knew that he was with all the people who have ever lived on the face of the earth, all of them, and that he would have to face God just like everybody else. He knew now, but it was too late. There was nothing he could do. All those excuses that he used to use, that he would give to his wife Marge for not becoming a Christian, now he realized those are just excuses. I'm so busy with work, all those things. Now work doesn't mean anything to him. The hypocrites down there at church that he used to bring up to Marge and say, "I don't want to be a part of that because you guys got some hypocrites in that church." Now he realized, "I'm going to be spending eternity with them." And then what was worse was that he knew that his heart would ache for his wife and his daughter, that he would never see them again. And that yet somehow they would be fine and happy in their state, but he would be haunted for eternity without them. When George appeared before the judgment seat of Christ, he already knew what his sentence would be. He had had enough education in God's word. He knew. And he knew that Jesus said in Matthew 25, "When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him be gathered together all nations. And he shall separate them one from the other, as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, and the goats on his left. Then the king shall say unto them on his right hand, Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Then he shall say unto those on the left hand, Depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels." George knew now that he was lost, and nobody could change that. And there was nothing that anyone could do about that. Why, he thought, why didn't I listen? Why didn't I just do what I knew I should have done? The world and everything in it meant nothing to him anymore. And for eternity, George was going to be gripped with hopelessness, fear, and remorse. And there's nothing he could do. Now, the story that you just heard is obviously not true. It can't be true because Jesus hasn't come and we're still here. But can I tell you something? Jesus is coming again. And the scenario that Brother Roper played out for us many years ago is going to happen in reality. How many people do we know who need to get... Maybe there's someone sitting here tonight that needs to get your life right. You need to do what's right. There may be somebody here tonight that is not yet even a Christian. You've not obeyed the gospel. You've not surrendered your life to Jesus. And you're thinking you got plenty of time. The preacher wasn't exaggerating when he said he could come back in 5 minutes. You know, every day we live could be the last day. And I'll tell you, someday there will be a last day. Someday there will be a last sermon that I prepare, or that Don prepares, or David prepares, or whoever. It'll be the last one. I don't know when Jesus is coming back. But neither do I know how long I have here. And that is a double threat. I was once preaching. A lady came in the door, and she was so excited. She was a member of the church. And she was so excited because her husband had finally come to church. He had never been before. And she was so excited that she got her husband there. And then I was like, that night, the topic of my sermon was, what must I do to be saved? And I thought, wow, this is like providence. This is a God thing that's going on here. And so I preached that sermon, and I didn't preach to the congregation. He was sitting in the balcony, and I preached to him. Everything I said was directed at him to motivate him to know and to obey what the Lord wants him to do. Well, as the song of invitation was sung, I kept my eye on him. I was hoping, but he didn't move. And when church was over, he immediately went outside and left before his wife ever got to the door. And when she got to the door, she came to me and said, "I am so excited. You don't know how much progress. I prayed for this." And this is just, you can't understand where he used to be. And for him to come to church with me tonight, this is huge. And she was so thankful. That same night, about 3 o'clock in the morning, I got a phone call. And it was the lady. And she said, "Steve, I need you to come to my house. My husband just died." You know, I've thought, I wonder if in God's providence, he allowed that man to have one more chance. And he rejected it. And now he's in the same situation as George. I know people who have need of obeying the gospel, and they haven't. They put it off. I've heard 1,000 excuses, like I'm sure maybe you have, with your family, with your children, with your mom and dad, with your spouses. There are reasons that people give, but at the end of the day, I'll tell you, at the judgment day, they're not reasons. They're excuses. And then it'll be too late. I want you, as we close tonight, to consider your soul's situation. I want to emphasize that while what we watched tonight or looked at on the screen and the script that I kind of read to you tonight, while that is fictional, the scriptures that were contained therein are the Word of God. And someday, just as assuredly as you're sitting here and I'm standing here, Jesus is coming back. And nothing else will matter at that day. You may be in pursuit of a lot of things in this life that are really good things. But if you're not in pursuit of God and obedience to Jesus and the good news that he brought to us, your life will be a waste. It'll be a regret for eternity. I'm just begging all of you tonight, if you need to get your life right, obey the gospel tonight. If you have sin in your life that you are harboring and you haven't let loose of and confessed and repented of, do that tonight. I don't know when Jesus is coming, but I do know this. When he does come, he will find people just like us who are caught, unprepared, just like George. That'll happen. Don't be one of them. If you need to obey the gospel tonight, being baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, then we'll assist you in that. If you're a child of God already but unfaithful, he's coming back. Don't gamble with your soul. Live your life for the Lord in obedience to him and in gratitude for the joys of heaven that will someday be ours. If you need to respond, we invite you to come as we stand together and sing.